97.5 The Fanatic.
Kobe Bryant have decided to take my talent to I have decided to skip college and take my talent to the NBA.
As you look around the building, there are plenty of cheers, also some tears. Some folks are misty-eyed, emotional. At this moment, Lyles misses. And the Lakers close out Kobe Bryant's career with a win and one of the great farewell performances in any sport at any time. Authored by one of the NBA's all-time greats, Kobe Bryant, 60 points, 23 in the fourth quarter of his farewell game.
And welcome to the show, 603, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you on this tough Monday night. Connor Thomas producing the show. Great stuff by Mike Missanelli, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Aganoff on the show before us. And that, of course, is the start of when everyone knew Kobe Bryant, who he was, leaving Lower Merion High School as a freshman, declaring for the NBA draft, and then his 60-point game, which none of us saw happening on that night. And I remember watching that one, and it was amazing to see what he did on that night, hoisting up 50 shots in his final performance as an NBA player and for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't know what I was going to do tonight except for try to reach out to some people that I know and try to get them to come on and speak about Kobe Bryant. I had an opportunity to join Pat Egan and Tyler Zuli last night for a quick hit as everything started to really wind down the night, although nothing has really wound down. This is still a tough day. That being said, we do have some guests. I will have, and I know I'm thankful for the guys mentioning that Donnie Carr, Roman Catholic, LaSalle basketball, right now currently a coach at LaSalle's alma mater, will join us at some point tonight, probably in the 8 o'clock hour, to talk about their friendship, their battles on the floor, the legendary 96 battle that they had at LaSalle. We will speak with a former colleague, Michael Bradley, who covered Kobe Bryant in high school and in the NBA. A friend to the program from Hoop Magazine, Anthony Gilbert, who had a personal relationship with Kobe Bryant dating back to his college years, Kobe's high school years, and his professional years as well. So far, that's who we have. That I've reached out to plenty of people to see if they had it in them to come on. And a lot of people just really did not have it in them to come on because it was too tough to discuss something about their friend, Kobe Bryant from Philadelphia. And I'm glad that Mark Jackson was on earlier this morning speaking about just that, where he talked about Kobe Bryant being a Philadelphia ball player from Philadelphia, even though he resided in Lower Merion, because that was one of the things that was always discussed. He's not one of ours. He chose Los Angeles and so on and so forth. At the end of the day, he was Philadelphia through and through. And hearing what Stephen A. Smith said, speaking to him privately on Mike's show and telling him what Kobe had opened up to him about it hurting and feeling that Philadelphia, not understanding that he was and the way he was because of Philadelphia basketball. And I'll just start off before we get to the phones and speak to all of you. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti will be in at 8 o'clock. We'll hear his thoughts on everything around Kobe Bryant. I mention this all the time, how growing up in my area of Winfield, proud to be where I'm from, just 10 minutes from here, our Bryn Mawr Studios, and having the opportunity. I'm 42 years old. I speak about it all the time. Kobe was 41, so we were a year apart. And the first time that I heard about Kobe Bryant, I was 15, and he was 14. You heard about him a little bit as an eighth grader, and at that point you're just like, okay. And me, 15, going into my sophomore year of high school, he going into his freshman year, things really started to ramp up about who he was. And with that, he would be in our neighborhood quite a bit. Lower Merion and Winfield, if you know where obviously St. Joe's Fieldhouse, at the time now Hagen Arena, the great steaks place right across the street. Many people would gather there to get a nice meal, and Kobe would be on our side, only 10 minutes away, very often. And as he got older and driving around in our neighborhood with his black Toyota Land Cruiser that he had. And at that time, right, a black Land Cruiser, a young guy like that, like, man, we all wish we could drive that type of car being 16, 17 years old. And he would just be in our neighborhood. Tough neighborhood we had, was what it was. You know, we had some mutual friends. He would be around the way. See him on the floor, sneaking into St. Joe's. They had this side door on 54th Street, right by the bus stop, where you can kind of go in there. The door would be propped open. It wouldn't be locked. As long as you were quiet, no one would really bother you if you stayed quiet and tucked yourself in the corner while the Sixers were in there doing their work, or some of the other people in there doing their workouts. As long as you were quiet, no one would say anything. And I remember one day, my junior year or my senior year, going into, it was 95, so it was my senior year, and that was when Kerry Kittles had decided to come back to Villanova. Jonathan Haynes was already done at Villanova. Mo Cheeks was here, John Lucas was here, and they were in there running some pre-draft workouts. And this was the famed Jerry Stackhouse, Antoni McDyess, Joe Smith, Rasheed Wallace, Kevin Garnett, that draft. And they had just finished working out Antonio McDyess with a private workout. He was done, so everyone else was in there just getting ready for some 5-on-5 work. So while I'm standing in the corner, if you've ever been in there and you walk in that door, there was a side court all alone by that door, and Kobe was working on the side. Still in high school, right? I'm a senior, he's a junior. He's just over there just doing his workouts. It's about, I'm guessing, 3:30 in the afternoon, just doing his thing. And, of course, the ball, he's doing everything on his own. The ball's bouncing all over the place. So at this point, I'm shagging the ball for him a little bit if it bounces my way, giving it back to him, all that type of stuff. Then he's able to go on the court with the guys. He starts playing. John Lucas is running up at the court a little bit. Mo Cheeks, Jonathan Haynes, Kerry Kittles, and some other people out there as well that I don't recall them, but I specifically remember Kittles, Jonathan Haynes, and a few other players, Mo Cheeks and John Lucas. And he was giving them work. And again, we're talking about a 16-year-old, because I'm 17. My birthday is not until June, late June. His is August. He's still a 16-year-old guy cooking these guys. And after a while, it got so bad, they were like, all right, you know, it's time for you to go. Cool. So whenever they say go, as long as they let you stand there for a bit, you just leave. And there was another time after that where Kobe was in there, where I had the pleasure of, I was working, I had a little job at the McDonald's on 54th Street, right here at 50th and City Line. And the manager, as a reward, because I had made one of the All-Star teams locally, he was, you know, proud of my grades, proud of what I did on the floor. And he was like, you know what? I'm cool with Rick Mahorn. He said, I can come over. He said, you can come over as a reward for you doing what you did in the class and on the court. All right, bet. Go over there, Rick Mahorn. So we're hanging with Rick Mahorn at this point. Kobe's in there again, giving out work. And Rick Mahorn was like, yo, he does this often. And I'm sitting there like, man. Then you start hearing the stories about what Ty and Mike were talking about, the Jerry Stackhouse story, where Jerry Stackhouse is getting all of it from Kobe Bryant in the gym. Those stories, legendary. Donnie Carr is going to join us later. He and Donnie Carr going at it in 96. Rip Hamilton in Coatesville, right at the Palestra against Kobe. I had an opportunity to go to the game with my neighbor, who was like my sister, her and her friend. They had an extra ticket. They thought I couldn't go at that point, and I was devastated, because that is what the city was talking about, those two guys going head to head in that game at the Palestra. So when LeBron James came later, a couple of years later, against Maurice Rice in Strawberry Mansion, my brother-in-law at the time, you know, just my sister's boyfriend, he had an opportunity where he had extra a way for us to get in there, no tickets, and we got in there, and I was not going to miss that one. Even though I saw Kobe, I wanted to see Kobe and Rip, I wasn't going to let this opportunity pass by when LeBron James comes to play Maurice Rice at Strawberry Mansion. And you go to those extra lengths to see these great players when you start hearing that buzz. And Kobe Bryant was that. Kobe Bryant was the guy you talked about at that time. Again, I'm around. When I was younger, in my freshman year, it was Rasheed Wallace. My sophomore year was Rasheed Wallace. When I speak about Mikhail and him being my younger cousin, his dad was a star player as well. He and Rasheed had a relationship. So when I had an opportunity to meet Rasheed, I was thrilled. The same thing with guys like Tyrone Weeks and Sean Colson and Farron Hand and on and on and on with all these guys. Later on, Lenard Stewart and having played against Reds Smith and Terrell Stokes and Rasheed Brokenborough, knowing Lynn Greer and things of that nature. And I love Philadelphia basketball. Oftentimes I bring on some of the guys that I play against or guys I've seen played and developed friendships over the years. And Kobe Bryant was one of those people that I had the pleasure of seeing for since he was 14 years old on the side, minding his business, doing his thing, all the way up to where he was his final game, that 60-point game against the Utah Jazz that night. And now with everything that happened yesterday, I was at the movies with my daughters. I have three daughters, and two of them I was with at the time when we were at the movies checking out Bad Boys, and I get a text from a family friend saying, is this true about Kobe? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's TMZ. Why are you sending me this stuff? I know they get things right, but come on, I'm watching a movie. And the curiosity had me. I had to check Twitter and see what was what and see what was going on, and I started seeing it again. And I texted a friend in L.A., and they didn't respond. And then I started to get texts from other places, and I'm like, nah, this is not real. And then this news of Gianna comes out also on the helicopter with him. And I couldn't help but look at my two daughters that I was with at the time, just stare at them. We're in the dark watching the movie, but you know you're sitting right next to your people in the building, and the enough of the glare of the light from the screen is on them where they're watching the movie, and I'm staring at them because I can't help and imagine what it would be like to lose my daughters and to lose my daughters in that way where all you can think about is how he protected, I'm sure, his daughter in their final moments. But that guy was Philadelphia through and through to me. I was just with my cousins, and they had this big argument, LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. We've all had these discussions about LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, and right now, none of that matters at all. He's an all-time great. He's a Philadelphia legend as well, and he's one that we will always remember. Just think about what we're doing right now from yesterday to today to probably tomorrow to Wednesday and how long this is going to go on. That guy was a great basketball player. He was a Philadelphia basketball player. He touched so many lives. He touched so many women's lives with what he has done for women's basketball, knowing that his daughter wanted to go that route as well, playing at the University of Connecticut for Geno Auriemma, and hopefully an opportunity to play professionally in the WNBA. I enjoyed watching his games. I loved watching his games. I loved the arguments that we would have afterwards. One of my friends I remember, Antoine Brockington, another Philadelphia basketball legend, speaking about the Kobe LeBron thing. I remember one day saying, the one thing I love about Kobe Bryant, as much as I love LeBron James, is if you ever watch Kobe Bryant, that one-on-one that we always see with him and the attention to detail and the wanting to beat you in so many different ways, just breaking you down. I remember him always mentioning to me when we would sit and watch games and talk about things afterwards. He would say, look how all these players, including LeBron, when things get tough, let's say right at the three-point line, they have to back it up. Let me back it up. Let me back it up. So I can reset to break you down. Where Kobe would just simply ball fake, swing the ball, jab step, create the space, shoulder dip in, all of those things, that one-on-one that you do when you go one-on-one to get to your spot, to create your space versus backing up and retreating to reset things to go at you downhill. That always stuck with me for some reason. I always watched it after Twan had mentioned that to me. And I just love watching the guy as a basketball player, great competitor. I'm glad I had an opportunity to see him from such an early age. And so sad that he's gone. Yesterday was tough. Waking up this morning, it was the first thing on my mind. That was tough. Throughout the day, it's just been one of those slow days. And I appreciate everybody I listened to on the Fanatic yesterday and today. Appreciate all the guests that were on here today. We'll hear from Connor Thomas later on and get his thoughts on things. But we certainly want to hear from you guys as well. 610-632-0975. Donnie Carr will join us later on. Michael Bradley, Anthony Gilbert. I have things out to others. They have not gotten back, and I'm okay with that because I think I understand where they are when speaking about their friend and Kobe Bryant and losing a friend the way that they did yesterday. We'll do it with what we have with you, and I certainly want to do that with you and hearing your stories, hearing your thoughts on Kobe, where you were, how this may have affected you, and, you know, loving your kids. Love your kids, love your family, love your friends, and let's do this together. 610-632-0975. Let's start off with Travis in Philly here next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Travis?
Yeah, how you doing, Devon? How you feeling?
I'm feeling, man.
I know. It's really hard. I couldn't grasp it because I was just leaving work when I heard about it. And usually I get alerts from ESPN, but I thought it wasn't real because I wasn't getting any alerts from ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad. And I feel for all the families, the Bryants and the other coach who was on there. He was an icon of his sport in baseball.
Yeah, he was.
He was an icon. And it's just hard. I just had this conversation today. A lot of people couldn't understand what Kobe meant to a lot of people around the world. And, you know, I had to break it down. And the thing that got me was my 8-year-old son had texted me and told me, you know, I think he was listening to heard his mom say something after I had texted her. So my 8-year-old son texted me, and he had a basketball game yesterday, and it kind of got me because he was a little sad. And then I got a 23-year-old son, and he posted something on Instagram, and it was about Kobe, and it was this commercial that I know you probably forgot it too, and it made you understand what Kobe was about. It was a Nike commercial, and he made a shot, and the guy said he hated him. And everybody started singing, and Kobe was directing them singing about they hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you saw his game grow. You saw him grow as a person, because he was arrogant when he first came in the league.
Yes, he was.
He was. And I met him one time, and because my job, we do the security for all the play for the teams, the charter flights when they leave, for the away teams when they leave. And I think he broke Wilt Chamberlain's, I think he passed Wilt Chamberlain here for the scoring on the list.
Yes, at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I congratulated. That was my interaction with him. I congratulated him. He smiled. Thanks. I appreciate it. And it gave me another, like, damn, Kobe not that bad.
Yeah. Nah, man. And my interactions, man, they were always short but sweet. Thanks for the call, Travis. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Where, again, in the St. Joe's gym, him just being around the way where we have mutual friends in my neighborhood with Anthony Gilbert later on, who had the friendship and able to extend that from, you know, just the conversations of, once again, reminiscing of being back in my neighborhood where he oftentimes would visit. And, you know, what it was, what it meant, and all of that stuff, man. And you're right, Travis. I definitely want to, you know, extend the condolences to everyone else that was on the flight, the families that were affected by this, and certainly his wife and children who he leaves behind, his mom and dad here locally, his sisters that not many people ever hear about, his two sisters, his uncle and cousin. I don't know if people remember John Cox playing at ENS and later University of San Francisco, and so many other people that, you know, his family members that are still in the area. Yeah, thoughts and condolences are with them as well. Jim in Lansdowne joins us next on the Fanatic. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Devon? Listen, I don't even want to say how you doing because there's no asking how you doing on a day like today.
Yes.
And to me, as a Philadelphia sports fan, I got to tell you, I tried to make myself dislike the guy. And I'll tell you why. Because in 2001, as you know,
yes,
you know, he took our chances away. And I got all excited after game one, thinking, oh my gosh, we actually have a chance in this series. And then, sure enough, that was it, four straight. So I tried to say, I can't stand this guy, but he, there's nothing that it is unlikable about the guy. I mean, I've been through, you've been through Rory Holiday. You've been through Jerome Brown. You've been through Pelly Lindbergh, Jerome Brown and Pelly Lindbergh were just massive losses. But that does not equate to, this is one of the most, and I hate to use the word again, but iconic sports figures in history. And I would even argue one of the most iconic figures in general in American history. I mean, you could ask anybody in the country, and you say Kobe, and they're not going to know who it is.
Yep.
And so it was a devastating loss. Not a Lakers fan. Don't like him at all, actually. But in a situation like this, man, you got to give the man props. And it's really unfortunate that his daughter was involved.
Yeah, and the only thing you take from that is at least he was there to, you know, be with her in her final moments in something like that. You never want to see it. You never want to hear it. And thanks so much for the call, Jim. And I really appreciate it. And it is tough, man. And we will say, you know, how are you doing and all that stuff, just because we are those type of people who want to make sure we greet everyone when we speak to them. But we know how we're all doing. And we will continue to take your phone call, 610-632-0975, as we remember Kobe Bryant. And we'll speak to some guests later on, Donnie Carmichael Bradley, Anthony Gilbert. And if anyone gets back, we will certainly add them to the show as well. 610-632-0975, remembering the great Kobe Bryant.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
6:31, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti will be in at 8. We're remembering, of course, Kobe Bryant. So if you have some stories and you want to talk about him being here, of course, in town, you've seen some things, like I saw some things early on. And I remember when he made the announcement, and we played the announcement earlier, I was like, Is he? I mean, we knew he was that good. And he and Rip Hamilton playing in the McDonald's All-American game. And you knew what it was, and you knew it was a possibility. But I think a lot of people just wanted to see him stay home and play for LaSalle. You know, the Duke rumors were out there that he would go there if he went to school outside of LaSalle. And I mean, but you never knew what was true. And then he decided to go, and we were like, man, is he crazy? And I said this last night, and I'm glad Tyrone brought it up as well. When I was talking to Pat and Tyler, we were talking about, you know, just being in the city and, you know, just in the basketball circles that you were in, wherever you might have been. And it came up of the Brandy thing. And that's when you really knew he was big. We were like, wait a minute. She is on fire right now, and this dude is going to take her on the prom. We knew you had to reach because of who he was, but for that to actually happen and come to fruition, we were like, okay, this is really serious as to what Kobe was. We knew what he was basketball-wise, but he was also reaching out in the pop culture as well, and he had it all, right? You know, tall and had the low cut, good looking dude. And he was great at sports. He's charismatic and all of it. It was like, all right, this fits. And even when Mike brought up, because we would talk about this, I remember being on the front of the Daily News and the Inquirer and stuff. Should the Sixers take Kobe Bryant at number one, hometown guy? We were like, all right, I get it. But no, you have to take Allen Iverson. And you were never really locked in on Stephon Marbury, or never really locked in on Marcus Camby as other possibilities. It was either Allen at one, or somehow you trade back a few spots and you take Kobe, but not at number one. At the end of the day, as much as we love Allen Iverson, how different would things potentially have been
if Kobe was the number one overall pick. And there were people who actually said, no, take him number one, period. Take him number one overall because he's going to be that good. But you can't do it. You had Jerry Stackhouse, right? And so on and so forth, man. 610-632-0975. Remembering Kobe Bryant here until 10 o'clock on the Fanatic. Tom and Warminster next on 97.5. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on? Love the show. I don't really have any Kobe Bryant stories or anything, but yesterday was just a horrible day. Actually, yesterday, 18 years ago, I lost a friend in middle school and woke up bad day, and then I was laying down, and my mom came up and woke me up and told me that Kobe passed away. I just was in complete utter shock.
Because he was never supposed to go anywhere, not him.
And honestly, I think it was Vince Young that said it when Aaron McNair passed away, that legends and superheroes, they're not supposed to die. And for him to go is just, it's sad. Like, I've been upset ever since yesterday, you know what I mean? I can't stop crying. Think about watching everything about it. Like, 41 years old. Like, I'm 32, but 41, he's way too young, and it's just a sad, my heart goes out to the family and everything. And I think it was very smart. I think of Mark Cuban, you know, already saying, you know, that nobody will ever wear 24. And honestly, I think the whole NBA should retire number 8 and number 24 for Kobe Bryant. And he wasn't supposed to die this young. Like, he had a whole career and his daughter and everything. It's sad. And I love the show. You guys helped me get through this today with Mike Missinelli and Mark Rosetta and Trey. You guys helped me a lot today, and I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Tom. Thanks so much, man. You helping us out, to be perfectly honest with you. 610-632-0975 with the Mamba mentality. Mamba mentality. He's supposed to be able to get through anything. And unfortunately, this one was just too much for him to fight through. 610-632-0975. Just some great stuff I was looking at during the break. Tracy McGrady on ESPN. But tough to hear. Warren in West Philly next on the Fanatic. Hey, Warren.
You.
What's going on?
What's happening, man? Mamba.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man? I got something to tell you, man.
Go for it.
All right, so let me tell everybody for the record. Kobe Bryant is not from Lower Merion, West Philadelphia, okay? He's not going to do this. He walked his butt across John Avenue. You're in West Philadelphia. All right, listen. I saw Kobe. He was in high school. I was going to Robert E. Lamberton in West Philadelphia in the Old Brook Park section.
Mm-hmm.
This young boy shot this ball over 25 times beyond the three-point arch. Not one time, not two times, three times. I saw him do this in three different playgrounds. Tuscan Playground.
Yeah.
Wolf Playground. Popple Playground. Paddington. St. Joe's. Lower Merion. Norbert. I seen him before he started the black Toyota thing. He was on a pedal bike. I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, man, let me tell you something, man. I'm at Lower Merion High School right now. They about to start. There's a lot of people gathering up, man. We took a loss. Philadelphia took a loss, man. Lower Merion took a loss. I want to tell everybody right now, the thought of losing your daughter in your arm, and I'm alive, takes my breath away. So I can just imagine the thought of the last minute, man. Like, that's just crazy, man. I don't even want to talk about it no more. But big ups to the Kobe Bryant family, man. Lord Marion, we out here. We not going nowhere. L.A., we here, man. On the other side, man, we going to give everybody the support, man. Everybody that missed Kobe, man, we out here. We're showing love, man. Hugs, kisses to everybody, man.
Appreciate
Rock
it, Warren.
Rock is out here, too. Rock is out here, too. I think he called you. He about to go.
Well, we're about to get the Rock. Yeah, absolutely.
I know that's right. Yep. That's my man. Came up here together, man.
You got it, man. Well, thanks again, man. Appreciate you setting the scene for us, Warren. Thanks so much. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody has their story. And if he was out there, he was out there. Tustin is where I played. Parkside is where I played. Down Haddington is where I played. Narberth, as he mentioned, played there as well. And St. Joe's, again, I didn't play there, but I saw him there. And, yeah, he crossed city line often. And, again, glad. And we'll play that later with Mark Jackson speaking about him being Philadelphia. Ketino Mobley, Cat saying he is Philadelphia. And hearing Stephen A. Smith talk about how he wished that this stuff hurt.
the All-Star game where he was booed, and the way that the fans here received him after he was named the MVP for the All-Star game, that it hurt. And yeah, it's a tough one. Rock in West Philly at the Memorial. Next on the Fanatic. What's up, Rock?
What's going on, Ron? Listen, yeah, that's my guy. We out here. You just got off the phone with Warren. That's my guy. We out here at the Memorial. Channel 3 is out here. I think 610 is some Telemundo out here. And it's a bunch of people. There's a lot of people out here crying. Like, yeah. that's the deep part.
That's the impact, man. That's the impact that he had on people.
He the only person that I know I hated but didn't. I only hate him because he wasn't on my team.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? When he said rip the hearts out, I was hurt that you want to come rip my heart out because I believed you. I knew you was going to do it. And I always wanted that on my team. So it was like, I think that's why everybody's so messed up about it, because you hated him, but you didn't. You know what I mean? You got respect and admiration and have revere for what he has done, his body of work. His work ethic was impeccable. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. like to take a loss, and then I'm a Virgo, too, so, you know, I miss him even more because we virgins. You know, that's what our sign means. We Virgos, we virgins, and yeah. We very analytical. Like, everything we do is about analytics. You know what I'm saying? That's why he started his podcast or his show. What is it called?
Detail? The Detail on ESPN Plus.
It was perfect. And what hurt me the most is that he died with his daughter. Secondly, he didn't even have a chance to live yet, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because he dedicated his whole life to basketball, in the gym, out the gym. Like, he didn't really have family time and none of that because he dedicated his life, his whole entire life. He only lived for 4 years, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
He really lived life
I hear what
for
you're
4 years.
Saying. Yeah. Yeah, and then he leaves behind, Rock, thanks for the call, man. He leaves behind his daughters, his wife, of course, the parents and other relatives still local here and some spread around the country that, of course, have lost a relative, and he hits everybody else, just be the impact that he had on the sports world, basketball world, and his basketball family as well here in Philadelphia. John, and John is next on, a friend of mine. John, what's going on, Johnny?
What's up, Brian?
What's happening, man?
Oh, my God. It's crazy, man. I was sitting there. I got a call from a homie when it happened. And, you know, I immediately was like, get the bleep out of here.
Yes.
Can't be true, right? So, you know, I go to Google. I go to Google. And I don't see anything because, you know, I just want to type in his name. I don't want to type anything extra to get the, you know, the fake news and all that stuff. I go to ESPN. I go to CNN. I don't see anything. I'm sitting there. I'm playing Monopoly with my two daughters and the family and everything. And, you know, it just really, really hit hard, bro. Like, when you realize it was a reality. You know, you and I, we go way back. I've covered a lot of guys. You know, I was there when AI and Shaq got inducted into the Hall. And, you know, I really, really appreciate the game. And I had a love-hate relationship for the man, right? Like, I loved him. But at the same time, I hated him because, you know, it goes back to 2001. Part of it was because, you know, I hated the fact that people say, oh, we should have had him. And, you know, and all those type things of AI, because AI was my guy, right? But the thing that hurt me the most, and I'm not even going to lie, bro, like, I was in tears last night when I was by myself. I was in tears because the mere fact that, to think that, you know, to watch him to turn into the person that he became after basketball, or even in the latter stages of his career, when I started to realize how much I really do appreciate him and how much I am a fan, even though I couldn't pull myself to do it because of the Lakers jersey. Right? Like, the Lakers jersey was just everything to me, but I couldn't pull myself to really, really be a fan. But then I had the thought of him in his final moments with his daughter, and I can't even fathom like the idea of that, right? Like, here's a guy that anything you listen to and you read and you watch him, and you realize how much of a family man that this man has become over time, and, you know, knowing everything that he's been through. You know, we're from the area, right? So everything that he's been through just as a human being, that he's been through, you know, that he's falling out with his parents and all those things. And then, you know, seeing the man that he's become, that he became, and it's just crazy, man, to know that this man spent his final moments with his daughter. Not even, you know, because as a father, one thing that we always, I'm new to the game, right? But as a father, one thing that I've learned is that you always want to tell your children that everything's going to be okay. But to know that in that moment he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Or even if he did, right? Like, you know that it wasn't.
It was as best as he could.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough, unfortunately. Yep.
It's crazy, man. And, you know, my heart just goes out to his wife, his children. And, you know, I just wish everyone the best, man. And you know, I watched Jalen Rose last night on ESPN. And I've been looking at everyone. And the one thing that I just want everyone to understand, and one thing that I grew up in my household is, you know, just tell anyone that you love, just tell them that you love them. Give them a hug. If you're arguing with somebody, it does not matter. Just tell them you love them. Give them a hug, you know, because that's how my family was when I was younger. We always said we love you. Whenever I spoke on the phone, whenever we left, we would always say we love you, because tomorrow is definitely not promised. So if there's anything that anyone listening right now can just hear me, just please, anyone that you love, hug your children harder tonight. Hug your wife. Hug your husband. Hug anyone that you love, and just let them know you love them, man, because at age 41, Devon, I mean, that's our age, right? We're right there.
Yep.
I can't imagine not being here tomorrow to watch.
I know,
my
man.
My basketball game on Wednesday, or my youngest grow up, and who knows what she's going to do.
Yeah. Well, listen, John, thanks, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us, man, and thanks for that message to everybody. Appreciate it, man. Go hug your wife and your daughter. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We continue this on the other side with everybody on phones. If you're trying to get in, continue. 610-632-0975. Remembering Kobe Bryant here tonight. Devon Givens on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. 8 o'clock, Joe Torti will be in. And a few guests later on as well. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. Keep things moving and get your thoughts on everything with Kobe Bryant. Some stories and how... Just a couple of quick things. Lakers and Clippers tomorrow. That was first game since the Lakers were here in town on Saturday after the Sixers beat them Saturday night. They were supposed to take on the Clippers Tuesday night at Staples Center, of course, and that game has been canceled. Basically saying, Shams Charania was saying that the Lakers players simply were just not in the right shape to go out there on the floor and play basketball. Also said that Kobe Bryant and LeBron James spoke Saturday night after he passed him for third over all time on the all-time points scoring list in NBA history. So 610-632-0975. And tonight at 9 o'clock, ESPN is going to air his final game against the Utah Jazz. Sean and Limerick next on The Fanatic. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Devon. Certainly sad day yesterday. And,
Without question,
for
man.
For sports fans, particularly basketball fans, I know you and I are big hoops guys, and I was with my son yesterday, and he's 16, so he's he's into Twitter and everything. And I have the account. I'm a little bit older than you, my early 50s. And he said, "Dad, something came across TMZ reporting that Kobe Bryant died." And I said, "What?" I said, "It can't be true." So of course, I get on my phone, I start looking up stuff, and then my phone just starts blowing up.
Sean.
I mean.
Okay.
I remember
we lost you for a second. Can you repeat what you just said?
Oh yeah, I he told me that he got some kind of alert that Kobe had passed.
Yes, yes.
Said, how can that happen? What is going on? And I started looking, and obviously as time went on, you're pretty certain that this had happened. And when I think about the excellence that he demanded of himself and how he prepared himself, he was kind of the perfect matchup of pure natural talent with work ethic. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it in a profession, or particularly in a sport. And he exemplified that. And I remember when he was in his first or second year, when they won that first championship, it clearly was Shaq's team at that point. And I think, Phil Jackson was the coach, and I think he had some issues with Phil. And I want to say it was an overtime game in the finals. He just stepped up. I thought to myself, oh my God, this guy is super special. I didn't think I'd ever see anything to compare it to Michael. And I just remember that moment. And then of course I remember him, ripping our heart out in 2001. And, he just had a killer instinct. And, I definitely rooted against the guy. But towards the tail end of his career, I gained so much respect. And I was rooting for him in that last game when he scored the 60 points. I'm not quite sure we'll ever see anything on the basketball court that resembles. I mean, he scored 81 points in the modern day era. I don't think that'll ever, ever be matched. But I think the thing that upsets me the most as being a father of two is that, it's just so disappointing and it's so sad that we're not going to be able to see his next chapter. And he's not going to be able, because I really genuinely think that he sort of softened and his priority became his kids.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they were always his kids. But when he retired, you could tell he was all in 100%. And he was a terrific father and he was a coach. And I've coached my kids in sports, and it's just, there's like nothing like it. And that's where I can really relate to him as a man, is what he was going to be as a father. And it's just so sad. And it's so sad for those other families as well. And I appreciate you and the way you present it and stories that you share. I just want to thank you.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate it, Sean. And it's just tough, man. And the 60-point game that will be re-aired on ESPN tonight starting at 9 o'clock, which I will have on in this studio, even though it's hard to watch and definitely pay attention, and we'll have guests later on. I was rooting for it as well. I had no rooting interest in terms of what's going on in the Sixers and Golden State. I was big on what they were doing at that time. I wanted to see the best, and the Utah Jazz and the Lakers were not the best. But Kobe going out in this final game, I watched the entire game. Once he started getting going, I'm like, yeah, just keep rolling, and he was firing it up. And I was all for him having the type of night that he had. No matter how many shot attempts he took, they won the game. He was tremendous, and it was the Kobe way to go out in the NBA. Nate in Southwest joining us next on the Fanatic. Nate,
yo, cuz,
what's going on, man?
Bad day, brother. Bad day, bad five. Good
bad
brother.
24 plus hours, man.
He ain't never lied, man. I went to bed at 6:30 last night, man. That's how bad of a headache I had.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? You say that, man. I had a headache as well. And I'm like, I didn't eat much. Let me eat. And I still had a headache after I ate. I think it was the exact same thing for you. It was just the news.
Yeah, boy, that anxiety kicked in, man. And it just took me down for the rest of the night. But listen, just imagine if Lucas was here in 96 and we did draft that bull.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That would have been crazy, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'd have really been like, yo, we got an all-time great. And Danny from the city, too, so it definitely would have been amazing.
And if there was even though he was 17 going into the NBA and ultimately turning 18 and all, if there was one guy that you would say, can he handle it? Can he handle playing in his city with the pressure on him and all of that stuff?
You knew he could.
It was him. Yeah.
You knew he could. So real quick story before, I know I ain't got a lot of time. I know you got other people. So on O2, I'm in the Navy, right? So I get out the joint. I tell my mom, I said, listen, I'm going to come home for the All-Star game, but I'm going to take a break from the Navy, take leave. So my man gave me a job setting up stages down at the at Wells Fargo for the All-Star game. So I'm like, all right, cool. I worked the first day, bro. Second day, I ain't do nothing. But you already know me, bro. You already know what I like to do. I like to go around, mingle, take pictures with Cat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking pictures with everybody. I got pictures with Lisa Leslie, Bow Wow, Kevin Garnett, everybody. Man, Bean come along, and I'm like, I'm not taking no picture with him. Because, you know, it's the second year. It's like the year after he did us in the job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah. But you never know somebody's greatness, man. You know what I mean? Now I look back at it, I'm like, dang, I had that opportunity. I mean, just to be in the presence, I should have just did it. But, yo, man, great player, man, great dude. Gonna be sorely missed, brother. Mamba mentality for the rest of my life. I'm gonna hold you to that one. Yeah.
Crazy, man. Listen, thanks so much, man. Great. Thanks for that story, man. Appreciate you. 610-632-0975. Joe in West Philly. We're going to start with you, Jeremy, Eric, Keith, Mike. And Nate just dropped off, so one open phone line if you've been trying to get through and the lines have been busy. 610-632-0975. Lakers, Clippers postponed tomorrow. It's canceled, so they'll reschedule that game tomorrow night. ESPN will replay his final game, the 60-point game against the Utah Jazz, and Philadelphia is in purple tonight, as I'm seeing so many different things from Action News. Having the Wells Fargo Center in purple, the Boathouse Row is in purple, downtown, purple, and rightfully so. One of our own, gone, Kobe Bryant. We're talking about it here tonight on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.